Ephesians chapter 5 this morning. It's been in my heart in the last few services to look at this thought, because the days are evil. In verse number 16, the Bible said, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Last Sunday in both services, we talked about how that we need to walk in love in verse number 2, because the days are evil. And today, God being my helper, if you'll drop down with me to verse number 8, we'll find the second message in the series of three. The Bible said, for you were sometimes darkness, but now. I want you to notice the language here. I don't know that I ever picked up on it until I studied it this time. It doesn't say that you have light. It says, now are ye light in the Lord. Amen. Now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. So because the days are evil, I believe the Bible's teaching us in Ephesians chapter 5, we need to walk in love. How many's ever heard this saying, tough love? Sometimes love is tough. You say, preacher, I don't understand that. Well, I was looking at a text last night, and I'm not going to preach from it today, but whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth. It's not always easy to be a parent or a grandparent. I hope that if the day come that, and I'm sure that it will, that little Olivia that's got my heart wrapped around her little finger right now, I hope if the day come that I had to take my little hand to her little backside, that because I love her, I wouldn't let her run over her mamaw or run over, amen, her papaw, amen. You see it. At our house, it might be a little different at your house, but the grandchildren are always welcome. But when mom and dad leave, they're expected to behave. Say amen. And if mom and dad can't be in agreement with that, then just don't leave them with mamma and papa. Amen. And I'm not saying that because we don't love them. It's because we do love them. And they'll try you. Just like many of us have tried the Lord, say amen. We wanted to go just as far as we could. The Bible said, ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. That's what I want to dwell on today in the message this morning. I hope and pray I can get done with this this morning. I'd like to go on to the third in the series of messages tonight. We'll just see what the Lord has. Pray for us. Let's pray together. Father, we love you tonight. And we love you, Lord, because you first loved us. God, I know that we look forward to the services tonight. And yet, Lord, we have no promise that we'll ever get back to another service at Bible Way. God, we know that our lives are in your hands. And Lord, that this time is in your hands. And God, you've given us this opportunity. God, I pray as we study the Word of God today, Lord, that you would bless your Word as it goes forth. Help us, Lord. Drill these truths down deep in our hearts. God, we'll give you glory for all that you do. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Very unlike me, but here goes. I am burning up. Amen. So you forgive me, amen, but I'm going to take that jacket off this morning and try to get this across the best that I can. I got three things on my heart and on my mind today that I want to look at. Because the days are evil, walk as children of light. The Bible said, but now are ye light in the Lord. The first thing that I want to look at this morning, I got three things I want to look at, is we need to walk as children of light. Number one, by not forgetting where our Lord found us. By not forgetting where our Lord found us. I want to make a point of this morning because I believe it's important. Before he ever talked about walking as children of light, he said this, "For ye were sometimes darkness." I'll tell you what happens when a child of God forgets that. He becomes pharisaical in his ways. Now listen to me. A child of God can never be a hypocrite, but they can act in hypocritical ways. And I believe this morning what the Lord is saying to us here is that we don't need to forget where God found us. Sometimes we get saved, we begin to grow in the Lord, we begin to walk as children of light, and we forget where we were when He found us. I believe if we would remember this, it would keep us from looking down on others. It would keep us, my friend, from passing judgment on others. If you think about Ephesians 5 and 3, it said, "But fornication, uncleanness, covetous, let it not be once named among you as become a saints, neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting. For this you know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of our God." And the point is this morning, when he's talking about you were sometimes darkness, this is the list of darkness, and the list is not complete. But if we have broken God's law in one point, offended, then we're guilty of all of God's law. And so we can walk as children of light by not forgetting. I want to illustrate that this morning in the life of the Apostle Paul. The Bible said, "Know ye not," he's talking to the church at Corinth, "that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Be not deceived." I want to say this. A lot of people in this world today are deceived. Listen to me carefully. I believe as strong as a man can believe it, that when a man is born again, he is headed for glory. That the Holy Ghost of God sealed him until the day of redemption. I believe that as strong as anybody can believe it. I believe it's taught in the Word of God. I believe that my soul is in His hands. Amen. And I'm persuaded He's able to keep that which I've committed unto Him against that day. But listen to me and hear me clearly. That is not a license to live loose or a license to live in sin. Amen. That is liberty to serve God. That's what that produces in the life of a genuine believer. In other words, Paul said, "Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God." But I love these words in the Bible. Paul looked at them and said, "And such were some of you." Let me ask you a question. How did Paul know that? How did he know that? I'll tell you what I believe. Now listen, I don't believe when we testify that we ought to brag on sin. Amen. Or the depths of our sin. But I believe we ought to brag on the Savior that pulled us out of the depths of our sin. I believe there have been some testifying going on. I believe somebody might have said to Apostle Paul, "Brother Paul, you won't believe what that fellow was doing when God saved him. You won't believe what that woman was involved in when God saved her." And I believe old Paul would say, "Oh yeah, I believe it. I know where I was when God saved me. I was just as blind, just as lost, just as on my way to hell." He said, "Such were some of you, but you're washed." Aren't you glad God washes sinners? "But you're sanctified. But you're justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God." Paul, in the life of Paul, you remember the song, "I saw the light. I saw the light. Once I was in darkness. Amen. But I saw the light. And God saved my soul." That's what happened in the life of the Apostle Paul. He said, listen, Paul is telling us here in Ephesians, by not forgetting where our Lord found us, we can walk as children of light. I'll give you a couple examples. Acts chapter 9, Saul yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord. He went to the high priest and desired of him letters of Damascus to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. As he journeyed, he came near Damascus. There's a reason I'm reading this story. And suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven. I'll tell you this morning, listen, every one of us that used to walk in darkness ought to remember the time, thank God, when the light of God's gospel penetrated the darkness of our heart and we got saved by the grace of God. Paul couldn't forget it. He couldn't quit talking about it. He fell to the earth. He heard a voice saying unto him, "Saul, Saul,
Why persecutest thou me? And he said, Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus. Glory to God for the day in my life when the Lord stood up in my heart and said, I am the Lord. I am Jesus. I am the bread of life. I am the door to heaven. I am the way, the truth, and the life. There was no guessing about it. Amen. I knew who it was that had convicted me. I knew who it was that loved me. I knew who it was that died for me. I knew, thank God, who it was that got up the third day and rose again for me. And I knew who it was that was coming after me. The Lord Jesus, none other than the Lord Jesus. He said, I'm Jesus whom thou persecutest. Hard for thee to kick against the pricks. He, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? Trembling and astonished. Let me say something to you this morning. The Bible doesn't say you have to tremble to get saved. Listen to me carefully. And the Bible doesn't say you have to weep to get saved. And I'll tell you something right now. I believe there'll be a brokenness, whether it's manifested on the outside or not. Say amen right there. I believe with all of my heart. Listen, when the Spirit of God convicts a man of righteousness and of sin and the judgment to come, I believe a man is broken, amen, in his spirit. And God comes near to that man. He said, arise and go into the city, and I'll tell you what to do. Now, Paul's preaching in Acts chapter 22. I just read to you some scripture concerning his conversion. I'm talking about walking as children of light by not forgetting where our Lord found us. In Acts chapter 22, in verse number 1, Paul said, Men and brethren and fathers, hear ye my defense which I make unto you. They don't like him. They don't like this man that's going around preaching a crucified Savior. Amen. A buried Savior. A risen Savior. You see, that's the gospel. How that Christ died for our sin according to Scripture. He was buried and he rose again the third day according to Scripture. And Paul preached the gospel everywhere that he went. They said, Men and brethren, hear my defense that I make now unto you. And when they heard that he spake in the Hebrew tongue to them, they kept the more silence. And he saith, I am verily a man which am a Jew, born in Tarsus, a city in Cilicia. And then he said, yet brought up in this city at the feet of Gamaliel, and taught according to the perfect manner of the law of the fathers, and was zealous toward God, as ye all are this day. Paul saying, I used to be just like you are. Paul hadn't forgot. Hallelujah. That there was a time in his life when he was on the other side of the fence. Amen. He said, listen, he said, just as you are this day, and I persecuted this way, this Christian way. That's what he's talking about, unto death, binding and delivering into prisons both men and women, as also the high priest doth bear me witness, and all the estate of the elders, from whom also bring them that were bound unto Jerusalem for me, for to be punished. And it came to pass that as I made my journey and was come nigh unto Damascus about noon, suddenly there shone from heaven a great light round about me. You say, preacher, what are you trying to magnify? That the Lord Jesus, my friend, saved this man. And this man never forgot where he was and what he was doing when the Lord of glory came down and shined the light in his heart and in his life. I believe if we forget that, then we'll stop walking as children of light. We need to walk as children of light. And Paul said, I fell unto the ground. I heard a voice saying unto me, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? Again, in Acts chapter 26, Paul's preaching. Agrippa said unto Paul, thou art permitted to speak for thyself. Then Paul stretched forth the hand and answered for himself. He said, I think myself happy, King Agrippa, because I shall answer for myself this day before thee, touching all things whereof I am accused of the Jews. You know what was wrong, don't you? His manner of life no longer lined up with their manner of life. Hallelujah! When a person gets saved, their manner of life will no longer line up with their manner of life. And he was accused of the Jews. He said, I'll answer for myself, especially because I know thee to be an expert in all customs and questions which are among the Jews. Wherefore I beseech thee to hear me patiently. My manner of life from my youth, which was at my first among mine own nation at Jerusalem, know all the Jews. Paul said, everybody knows how I live, which knew me from the beginning, if they would testify that after the most straitest sect of our religion, I lived a Pharisee. I'd like to say that again for Miss Eve. that English teacher. The most straightest sect, amen. She stepped out. That's all right. Maybe she'll get it plumb out yonder, amen. In other words, Paul didn't always get that just right either, amen. And the Bible said, and now I stand and am judged for the hope of the promise made of God unto our fathers, unto which promise our 12 tribes, instantly serving God day and night, hope to come. For which hope's sake, King Agrippa, I'm accused of the Jews. Why should it be thought a thing incredible with you that God should raise the dead? You say, preacher, what's this whole argument about? I'll tell you what it's about. It's whether Jesus is alive or dead. And everywhere that Paul went, he was preaching. He got up. He got up. He got up. You say, preacher, how do you know that Paul was preaching that? Because it says, why did he keep preaching that? Because he was not able to forget, and he didn't want to forget where he was when God found him. He knew it was a living Savior. The songwriter said, you ask me how I know he lives? Hey, man, listen, I'm just going to paraphrase a little bit. He knocked me off my high horse one day. He knocked the pride out of me. I humbled my heart. I trusted him. He's lived on the inside of me ever since that day. And that's what happened in the life of the Apostle Paul. Why should it be thought a great thing, incredible with you, that God should raise the dead? I verily thought with myself that I ought to do many things contrary to the name of Jesus of Nazareth, which thing I also did in Jerusalem. And many of the saints did I shut up in prison, having received authority from the chief priests. And when they were put to death, I gave my voice against them. I punished them oft in every synagogue and compelled them to blaspheme. And being exceedingly mad against them, I persecuted them even unto strange cities. Whereupon, as I went to Damascus with authority and commission from the chief priests, at midday, O king, I saw in the way a light from heaven above the brightness of the sun, shining round about me and them that journeyed with me. And when we were fallen to the earth, I heard a voice speaking unto me and saying in the Hebrew tongue, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? It's hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And I said, who art thou, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. Do you have a time in your life that you can go back to when you realized that he was who he said he was, and he would do what he said he would do? If we would humble our heart and trust him, he would save us from our sin. Thank God he did that. Paul was able to walk in the light. I don't ever find a season in his life where he was not walking as a child of the light. But he was able to do that, Brother Ralph, because he never forgot where he was when God found him. He never forgot that. I'll tell you something right now. I believe with all of my heart, if we get so wrapped up in our pride, we ain't going to be worth shooting. If we forget, my friend, the only reason we're saved is because of the grace of God. It's not because we came to him, but it's because he came to us. Oh, beloved friend, listen, we didn't deserve to be saved, and we don't deserve it today. But thank God for his grace, and thank God for his mercy, and thank God we don't have to forget where the Lord found us. Oh, beloved, we can walk as children of light, children of light, if we'll just never forget where our Lord found us. The second thing I want to give you here, he said, you were sometimes darkness. How many can say that this morning? You know, either we were, and it's past tense, sometimes darkness, or we're still walking in darkness. It's one way or the other. Amen. I can remember my grandfather talking about a black lady testifying in a meeting. And the black lady stood up in the back of the church. It was very common in those days at the end of a service. Anybody got a word on your heart? And this black lady stood up and said, yes, I have a word on my heart. Said, I want to tell you white people one thing. Said, I want to tell you black people the same thing. Either you is or you ain't. And she sat back down. You say whatever you want to. That's good preaching. I'm talking about either on your way to heaven or on your way to hell. You're either in the family of God, God is your father, or you're still serving your father, the devil. It can't be both ways. We're either in or out. We're either going up or we're going down. Amen to the region of the damned. Why can we walk in darkness? Why can we walk in the light and escape the darkness? Because we were sometimes darkness. But now we're light in the Lord. We can walk as children of light by not forgetting. How many believes because the days are evil, we should walk as children of light? Amen. This world needs light. This world needs light. This world needs light. Secondly, in the message this morning, we need to walk as children of light, not only by not forgetting where our Lord found us, but we need to walk as children of light by not fellowshipping with the ungodliness around us. There's not a lot of preaching on this these days. I'm telling you the truth. The pulpit used to be full of preaching about separation. It used to be full of preaching about ungodliness and not loving the world and not loving the things that are in the world. I remember a story one time where a woman got mad at the preacher. He was preaching on separation, and the woman got mad at him, told him at the back door of the church, said, "I wish sometime or another you'd just quit preaching on things." He said, "Honey, if you'll come back tonight, I'll do my best." He read his text, "Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man loves the world, the love of the Father is not." That's not Brother Vannoy's doctrine. That's the Bible. "Wherefore come ye out from among them and be ye separate people, saith the Lord. Touch not the unclean thing." Beloved, listen, that used to be popular in the pulpit, but it's about a thing of the past. Amen. I believe, listen, if we're going to walk as children of light, not only do we need to remember where He found us, but we need to, by not fellowshipping with the ungodliness that's around us. Watch what the Bible said. Look at verse 6. "Let no man deceive you with vain words. For because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Be not ye therefore partakers with them." Now, if I didn't have any more Bible, that'd be enough. Amen. And the Bible said, and look at verse 11, "And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them." That's just Bible. Amen. God said, if you want to walk in the light, you can't afford, my friend, listen, to be fellowshipping with ungodliness in this world. By the way, it's everywhere. It probably doesn't matter where you work. If you work anywhere and everybody's a child of God and everybody wants to pray over their meal, I'd like to know where that's at. First of all, I'd like to come join you one day at lunchtime. Say amen. I'd like to thank God for that place. There's ungodliness on the job. Listen to me. There's ungodliness in the neighborhood. There's ungodliness on the internet. There's ungodliness on the TV. There's ungodliness in the radio. Help me! I'm telling you, there's ungodliness. And if we're going to walk in the light, we cannot fellowship with the ungodliness that's in this world. Now listen to me. There's certain kinds of music. One of the reasons, not the only reason, but one of the reasons I believe a music program in a church needs to stay in the old time way. There's a bunch of us in here that don't need to be reminded of our old ways. God help us when we plug something in a church that reminds us of a honky tonk or a rock concert. Amen. God said, come out from among the world. Love not the world. The Bible said, listen, all that's in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. When you got saved, listen to me, when I got saved, a battle began. We didn't have anything to fight the battle with before we got saved. But when we got saved, the Holy Ghost moved in. And now we can fight the lust of the flesh. We can fight the pride of life. We can fight, the lust of the eyes. Because we have somebody living in us to help us. Love not the world. The Bible said, the world passeth away and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. And then he said this in verse 18. Little children, it is the last time. John is writing this in 1 John. Over 2,000 years ago, he's saying, little children, it is the last time. And because the days were evil then, and because the days are evil now, we cannot afford to fellowship with ungodliness. We can't afford to fellowship with ungodliness. Jesus, when he prayed for us, Listen to me carefully. He said in John 15, 17, chapter 17, verse 15, he said, I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world. Jesus said, Father, he's praying to the Father. This is, John 17 is the Lord's prayer. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. That's a model prayer. Jesus is teaching us how to structure our prayer. But if you want to hear Jesus praying, read John chapter 17. He's praying. The words are recorded. He said, Father, I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but thou shouldest keep them from the evil. Now, wait a minute. If the Lord meant to say that, he could have said, keep them in the evil. How many knows what I just said knows the difference? In other words, he could have said, well, I just let Brother Vinoy watch that old garbage. Let him listen to that old garbage. And you just keep him in the evil. That's not what he said. God said, listen, I want him to walk as children of light. In order for him to walk as a child of the light and not a child of the darkness, he's going to have to be separated from that mess. He's going to have to forsake that mess. By the way, let me tell you something right here. Listen to him carefully. We got to be real careful. We can't afford to look over there and look down our nose and think we're better than them. That's wrong. And you can't afford to have no contact with them. That's wrong. But there's a difference in witnessing to somebody and fellowshipping with somebody. Read the book of Corinthians. Paul said that man that was committing incest with his stepmother, he said, was such a one, no, not to eat. That's fellowshipping right there. Don't sit down and have a meal together. Amen. I'll ask you something. This is personal this morning. I want everybody to ask yourself this. If there's something there where you're rubbing shoulders and fellowshipping with ungodliness, are you raising them up or are they breaking you down? If you'll be honest, they'll always break us down. We can't afford to fellowship with ungodliness. It'll always tear God's people down. God wants us to walk in the light. We can't do it without breaking fellowship with the ungodliness that's around us. Because the days are evil. Walk as children of light. Number one, by not forgetting where our Lord found us. Number two, by not fellowshipping with the ungodliness that's around us. Right there in the Bible, right here just in these few verses. You were sometimes darkness. Don't forget that. And then he said over here, have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. Boy, I'll tell you something right now. That's not popular, is it? That's not popular for a mom, for a dad, for a pastor. That's not popular for the principal of a school. That's one of the reasons our schools have went to pot. Years ago, here's what my daddy told me. He said, son, if you go to school and get in trouble, he said, you better keep it to yourself. He said, because if I find out about it, he said, if you get a whipping down there, you're going to get another one when you get home. And then the early 1970s, when secular humanism began to kick in real good, they began to teach children that they're their own God and that they're their own person and they don't have to answer to anybody. All of a sudden, when a child got in trouble at school, instead of a child being in trouble at home, the parent was down at the school climbing the principal and climbing the teacher because their little Johnny never did anything wrong. My friend, you ain't got a brain in your head if you think your little Johnny never does anything wrong. You say, preacher, how can you say that? Because our little Johnnies are just like us. They're living under the curse of sin. Brother Johnny Taylor, I didn't mean you. But I guarantee your daddy be hollering amen right now. Amen. Am I right or am I wrong? A child left to himself brings his mother shame. We've come to a place where we don't want to be corrected anywhere. Sometimes in society they almost dare us. That's what's going on today. They're daring us to stand up. stand up for Jesus. I'll tell you something right now, I didn't need a dare. Because when he moved in my heart, he caused me to want to stand. Paul didn't need a dare. Daniel didn't need a dare. He just kept praying like he always prayed. He didn't need a dare. Let me give you this now. And I'm done. Don't get too excited. Give me 10 or 15, would you, and I'll be done. We'll go on tonight to walk them circumspectly. We need to walk as children of light by not forgetting where the Lord found us. Number two, by not fellowshipping with the ungodliness that's around us. Number three, by not forsaking the very purpose that bound us. When God saved you and I, the Bible said here, you were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. You say, preacher, I don't understand. Stay with me a minute. Ephesians 5:13 said, but all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. For whatsoever doth make manifest is light. I'm going to tell you, a lot of us are saved because when we walked alongside, they wouldn't fellowship with us. Somebody had the light and they knew they had something that we needed, that we knew that they had something that we did not have. The Bible said here, it's manifest. Wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepest and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. Now let me give you where I'm going. Verse 16. Over there, I'm not sure which chapter it is, but I'll give you this. Listen to it carefully. I believe it's in the book of Colossians. But rise and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose. Now, this is the book of Acts. I'm sorry, talking about Paul's testimony. God said, I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness, both of these things, both which I have seen, and those things in which I will appear unto thee, delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles, unto whom now I send thee, watch this, to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light. That's the whole reason that God left us in this world, is that somebody, as we walk in the light, might be turned from darkness to light. That's the whole reason. That's the purpose. And from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by the faith that is in them. I'm going to ask you a question. How many of y'all know somebody's not saved? Raise your hand. Did you know that person with their hand up might be their only hope? They need to walk that they might see the difference that God has made in your life and in my life. Listen, I believe this is important. We're not our own. We're bought by a price. Jesus said, I'm the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but he shall have the light of life. You say, preacher, have you ever walked in darkness? I'll say yes. Preacher, while you were walking in darkness, were you following Jesus? I will say emphatically, no, no, no. You cannot follow him and walk in darkness. His path is a path of light. John 1:6, there was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness. This is the witness. This is the purpose. And many have forsaken the very purpose that God bound us to serve him for. That's to be a light to the dark world. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but he was sent to bear witness of that light. 1 Timothy 1:12, Paul says it again. I thank Christ Jesus our Lord who hath enabled me. He counted me faithful. He put me in the ministry. Here he is again, who was before a blasphemer and a persecutor and injurious. He said, but I obtained mercy. How many's glad you obtained mercy? He said, because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundantly with faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. He said, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world. Somebody tell me why he came. to save sinners. And Paul said, just in case you're wanting to know who the worst one is, I'm the chief. I'm the chief. No wonder it was easy for Paul, or excuse me, easy for Timothy to follow a man like Paul. Paul didn't walk around in the light bragging on himself. He walked around in the light bragging on his Savior. This morning the Bible said, listen, God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. Stay with me a minute. For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. He that believeth on Him is not condemned. I'm glad I'm in that crowd this morning. He that believeth not is condemned already, because he not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. This is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. Everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. I'm going to give you an illustration and I'm done this morning. Listen to me carefully. I believe that God wants us to walk as children of light. But in order to do that, we cannot afford to forget where we were when He found us. We cannot afford to fellowship with ungodliness. We can walk in the light by not fellowshipping with the ungodliness that's around us. And then we can walk in the light by not forsaking the very purpose for which God bound us. That's the reason He saved us. That's the way St. Paul would say, I'm a bond slave. In other words, listen, I'm a slave of love. You go over there in the Old Testament, and I don't know all the story verbatim, but a slave that had a master, when he was able to go free from his master, I believe it was after 7 years. But the children and the wife would stay with the master. And if the slave so chose, he could have a good master and choose to stay with his master and choose to stay with his family. And by agreeing to do that, they would back him up to a door and they would bore a hole in his ear with an awl. And what that hole said in that generation was this: he's my master for the rest of my life. Listen. The Lord, my friend, did not put me in shackles. He freed me from shackles. I just came to tell Him, Lord, I want You to be my master all the rest of my life. Why call You me Lord, Lord, He said, and do not the things which I say. The captain of a ship, listen to this. He looked into the dark night and he saw faint lights in the distance. Immediately he told his signalman to send a message. Alter your course 10 degrees south. Promptly a return message was received. Alter your course 10 degrees north. The captain was angered. His command had been ignored. So he sent a second message. Alter your course 10 degrees south. I am the captain. Soon another message was received. Alter your course 10 degrees north. I am Seaman Third Class Jones. Immediately the captain sent a third message, knowing the fear that it would invoke. Alter your course 10 degrees south. I am a battleship. Then the reply came, alter your course 10 degrees north. I am a lighthouse. There are plenty of voices shouting at us through the fog. We need the clear, solid voice of the lighthouse in this generation. There is a friend, my friend, in Jesus. There is a friend in the Word of God. And my friend, the Word of God is not going to be altered for this ungodly generation. The lighthouse is not going to be altered. It's not going to be moved. If we're going to walk in the light, we need to remember that. They're trying to paint us a picture in this generation that what God said is abominable is accepted. It'll never work. The lighthouse was founded, is founded, and will forever be founded. If you're lost this morning, my friend, if you're saved this morning and failing to live up to the purpose, I want to say, alter the course. Alter the course. The lighthouse is not going to move. If you're lost this morning, you're on a collision course with the lighthouse. Those judges a little while back, you listen to me and hear me well. They think they moved the goalposts. They think they moved the lighthouse. They didn't move anything. They're on a collision course with the lighthouse. They're on a collision course with the judge of all the earth. Need better school systems, so we'll start us a lottery. Help me. Get people to gamble. We need some revenue, so we'll make drunkenness legal. And then we'll put it in 3/4 of the restaurants in town. Oh, we're really going somewhere, aren't we? Oh, we think we can change the lighthouse. Oh, we just need to legalize that marijuana. I heard him talking on the radio last week, said, you know, that marijuana, it don't cause nobody to get in a car wreck. I'm going to tell you something right now. The lighthouse ain't moving. It's not moving. For you, for me, or for anybody else. You want, no, listen, I'm not going to preach right here for an hour. I'd like to, but I'm about done. That's why a lot of people can't stand this old Bible. They want to change it every month. It's become the book of the month club. But it ain't changing. It ain't changing. This morning, thank God the lighthouse is still standing. Thank God the lighthouse is there to guide us through this world of sorrow. We at times will need to alter our course as we look to the lighthouse, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. May God help us to leave here and walk as children of light by not forgetting where we were when He found us. By not fellowshipping with the ungodliness that's around us. And by not forsaking His purpose for our life that has bound us. I want to be a light. Wouldn't it be a shame for me to find out that instead of helping someone, I hindered someone. Instead of being a light, I was a stumbling block. Oh, God, deliver me from that. Amen. I don't ever want to forget. This week I went back in my mind, February the 22nd, 1987, Landmark Baptist Church, Glade Spring, Virginia. Thank God for the old preacher. Thank God for the old book. Thank God for the old songs. Y'all went to church with Brother Eddie Counts. His father-in-law, Brother Ken, was leading the singing. Brother Ken Leonard, Sister Pam was playing the piano. I thank God for the old saints. There's still a few around that ain't fell by the wayside. There's still a few around that's determined to walk in the light as He is in the light because they enjoy His fellowship. And the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us from all sin. Let's pray. Father, we love You this morning. And we're grateful, Lord. Lord, that You've given us a light in this generation. It's so dark. It's almost, Lord, gloriously dark. Lord, I know that, Lord, those families where the Marines and the sailor was shot last week, they're so grieving today. God, they so don't understand. And God, we pray for them this morning. Lord, I know that our country's in a mess. And Lord, there's a whole lot that we cannot do. But God, surely, with your help, we can walk as children of light. We can walk in love because the days are evil. God, this morning, there may be somebody here unsaved. God, they need to know that, Lord, your course is right. Your course is perfect. You'll never have to alter your course. But, God, they need to alter their course. They need to come to Calvary. They need to experience, Lord, that crimson flow and be washed in the blood of the Lamb. God, I pray this morning if there's a child of God here, Lord, that's forsaken the very purpose for which you saved them. Oh God, this morning I ask you in the name of Jesus, help us to be a light. Lord, someone's eternal destiny may be in the balance. Help them. Lord, I remember the song Carol Robertson wrote years ago, I want the people to see Jesus in me. I want the people to see Jesus in me. I want my life to be all God wants it to be. I want the people to see Jesus in me. Lord, that's Olivia's only hope, is to see Jesus in mommy and daddy. Lord, that's Aaron and Avery's only hope, to see Jesus. Lord, I pray you'd help them to see Jesus in Aubrey's life. I pray, God, you'd help them all and Papaw, that they could see Jesus. Help us to walk in the light. God, you sure are good to us. I pray, Lord, in this invitation, Lord, that you'd speak to our hearts. Help us, our Lord, to get a little closer, to walk a little closer, to shine a little brighter, to let our light so shine that men may see our good works and glorify our Father which is in heaven. Lord, help us.